A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 16 January 2025, Thursday class. So we are continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code by me. And we are now at Unique Code 146. As usual, we will gather and have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Wen Su Pu Sa, Namo Wen Su Pu Sa, Namo Wen Su Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa, Namo Fo Pu Sa.Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiKamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajjhapamadatanaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. We will continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna Sarappa Ditena Dipena Tamadangsina Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonodangGanda sambara yutena Dupena hang sukang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kasumea Tit Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Jemi Badang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Cha Bhupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pali Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferred merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Puja. Vedang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. So as usual, just remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. Stabilize your awareness, and if you know how to stabilize your awareness already, then you move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature, the pure awareness nature, to develop the meditative movement and transformation so that wisdom can arise. Okay. So I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you all can continue with your awareness-based meditation. Developing the inner awareness is very important. Unless you can develop it, your mind cannot settle down. Your mind cannot be in the state of tranquility, stillness, and inner awareness for you to realize your true mind. Your true mind is actually the silent mind without thought. And for that mind to arise, you must know how to relax and maintain awareness. No need to know, no need to do anything. And this inner awareness, which is tranquil, still, peaceful, and just aware before the knowing, that is your meditative mind. That is your true mind. So develop that understanding, then train yourself well until you are most of the time just relaxed, aware, without thought. Then when you can be in that state, you will stabilize the inner awareness until you become ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, means transforming yourself to develop heedfulness. The heedful never die, and the heedful, they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. So heedfulness got two parts. Train your mind to be aware or mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So when you can be ever mindful, means you are all the while in the state of sati or mindfulness. So constantly aware, ever mindful, is heedfulness. Okay, now I let you meditate on your own. You can now slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind states that you need to make use of to live the daily life and to stabilize your daily mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties of devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchan tu devata saddhamman muni rajas sunantu sakamokkadam dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta dhamma Masvanan kalo ayang badanta namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa iti beso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swagato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatam veditabo inohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chatari purisa yukkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaniyo anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. We are at page 40 of this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. Unicode 146. So this code is very useful. Pay attention, then we will develop the understanding so that you can penetrate the Dhamma easier. We need to develop the understanding of what this direct seeing or pure awareness nature is all about. So here under this Unicode, I mention very clearly, pay attention to the first sentence. Everything you come to see or perceive is via your pure awareness nature, or we call it the pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, initially, at the moment of perception, or the pure direct seeing. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. It's only that consciousness, nothing else. No one to see. No egoic mind, no content, nothing. Like the physical experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. That lighting up of the light bulb is just like the living being, the human being, the form and mind become conscious. Yeah. That is what consciousness is. So when you are conscious, you can be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel or think. These are the six types of basic sense to consciousness. So how do we know the world? Through our consciousness. So whatever we come to know or perceive is all through our pure awareness nature or the pure consciousness. So this is what is meant by the direct seeing. Because as I have explained earlier on, the first thing to come out from our nature or the source is actually our pure awareness nature. So this pure awareness nature, you look at the whiteboard, this is our true mind, our silent mind, the pure awareness nature. This is the first thing to arise. That's why we sometimes call it the primordial nature. And from there, it creates what we call the five aggregates of form and mind, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, which we also call the thought. So how does this thought come about? I have explained before. So based on the earlier notes, spacious awareness, our pure awareness nature, or pure nature, initially is the oneness, pure awareness nature, spacious, without a center. Then what happens is, this one can create thought through perception. When you try to perceive through your senses, you have to shrink the pure awareness into a small space. So this shrinking into a small space, to perceive, is like here, the small space with a center you perceive. Like when you want to see something, like the Kuan Yin image or my voice, you have to shrink your awareness from the spacious to that object that you want to perceive, either the rupang of the Kuan Yin or my voice or anything for that matter within your conscious space within this universe. So from spacious awareness, you shrink it down into a small space to perceive, then it becomes this. Then what happens is, after that, initially, it's just the spacious awareness shrink, so it's still pure consciousness, pure awareness. So whatever you come to perceive is always starting with the pure awareness nature. But from there, what happens is very important. Because the moment you try to perceive, the memory comes in. The memories, which is full of your knowledge, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, including all your various accumulated phobia mind states, like insecurity, what we call your emotion, your anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, etc. So all this, they were through memory create thought. That's a thought is respond to that memory that you have. Then you label it, you name it. That's how you input the content of consciousness. Then over time, as you grew up from a baby until what you are now, you would have developed a lot of views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that become your habitual tendency. That's why when you perceive all this manifest and created the movement, that's why we call it the stirring of the mind, the reaction of the mind. You start to react and stir to your habitual tendency, through your views, opinion, condition. That's how your like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, your emotion, could be your fear, your worry, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy, your whatever insecurity or other type of emotion. Sometimes it can be joy, Sometimes it can be excitement. All these are the possibility of mind state that arise. So this is how the thought comes to be. When the content go in, so the content of consciousness together with the shrunken space is where that movement is. That's why thought develop that movement within the small space. That's why thought is limited. So the spacious awareness through shrinking of the spacious awareness into a small space and you input the content of consciousness, it become a thought. So this X is the center, content of consciousness. So this content of consciousness, when you input them, it become a thought. So basically, thought is spacious awareness, shrink into a small space, means that receptacle that receive the content. So this one is the receptacle. So these two, when you add them up, equals thought. So this one, together with this one. You add these two, then it become a thought. Okay, with this understanding, now I will read my unique code again, then you can understand much better. So this part very useful. Everything you come to see and perceive is always via your pure awareness nature, which is your pure consciousness. And this is what the Buddha meant by in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. It's just that manifested consciousness, which is dependent originating, like the physics experiment. When you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. So the lighting up of the light bulb can be any of the sense perception that arise. It can be the seeing consciousness, or the hearing consciousness, or the smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Then what happens is, you input the content of consciousness to transform it into a thought, which is your five aggregate of form and mind. So like I explained just now, the content of consciousness came from your memory, your brain, your accumulated knowledge, your whatever conditioning, belief system, your accumulated experiences, good and bad, or the psychological memory and emotion, including your knowledge, which is mechanical memories, and your logical thinking, etc. So all this can create the content through what they call respond to memory. That's why the thought that manifests after the content went in, the content and the limited small space which we call the receptacle that receive the content, trigger off into a thought and become a thought. Actually that thought has a life, is alive. That's why thought energy has karmic implication, moral causation, because of the mental intention inside. And that content of consciousness with that mental intention create karmic consequence. That's how creation come to be. So from here, the pure awareness nature, we input the content of consciousness and it transforms into a thought, the five aggregate of form and mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, is what we call the thought. The other one, the first aspect, is the living being. You have a physical body, then you have a consciousness trapped inside, where you can subdivide the consciousness into four more aggregates of mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. So that together with the external form or the mental perception that brings in the external form also develop the five mental aggregates of form and mind. So this one is what thought is all about. This is what sankhara is all about. But because the living being has its sense basis, it can trigger off the phenomenal world of consciousness, like the physics experiment. How do you know the world? How do you interact with your world? Through your senses, through becoming conscious. When you become conscious of what you see, all these are consciousness. Conscious of what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel, and think. All these are the phenomena within the world. That's why we say, from the thought, through your senses, you manifested the phenomenal world of consciousness, or what we call the PWC. And this is what the conditioned world is all about. And this is what life existence is all about. So the existential world, the phenomenal world, and life. This will manifest. Then this is the place where you don't have the Dhamma, you will be lured into it. Because what happened at the phenomenal world of consciousness is it can entice a living being. It can lure you and draw you into it. And when you attach, cling, and give meaning, you can become tormented, afflicted. And this is how suffering comes to be. But for us to come to this existential world, we need the karmic nature. The karmic nature, which are the accumulated karmic action every moment, every instant, within every life. They can actually, through your last thought moment when you die, when a being die, if they die with ignorance, then avijja paccaya sankhara will create the rebirth consciousness. And this rebirth consciousness, together with the karmic content, it will actually form what we call the namarupa. Form a mind, namarupa. That's why under the link, the 12 link, paticca samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, the third link. That is what consciousness is all about. Yeah. When this consciousness arrives, you input the content, then it becomes the form and mind, namarupa, five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aspect. This is what the thought is all about. This is what the mundane mind is all about. So this one is also the mundane mind. And this mundane mind, you need to arise it to live life. Without this mundane mind, you cannot come to this existential world and you cannot live life. And because of this mundane mind, which is trapped inside the physical form within the living being, then this one manifests into a living being, or what we call the five aggregates of form and mind. If you deludedly grasp and cling onto this, believing that it's permanent, it's you, it's real, then you have sakkayadity. Then you will suffer. Yeah. Then from there, the egoic mind manifests, creating the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then from there, you get yourself entangled. That's how karma comes about. That's why from here, this thought when it arises, the mundane mind when it arises, the Buddha say, this mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. We are all creation through the karmic process happen, manifest already. And the whole teaching is actually very easy to understand, and you can comprehend it very clearly through this four circle formation explanation. Yeah. Although the whole teaching when it's taught is like the Dhamma is very complicated, very extensive, like a lot of Dhamma, and they are taught as separate Dhammas. But when you understand, they are all connected, it's only one. Yeah. And everything boils down to the understanding of this five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the Buddha, in the first Noble Truth, final summary, he said, in short, he summarized, all of suffering arise when living being grasps and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's real, thinking that it's a permanent unchanging entity. That's how the egoic mind come to be. That is how the personality come to be. That's how the sakkayadity, self-delusion, the grasping of it, the clinging of it comes to be. So he said, in short, this five aggregate, once it become grasping, upadana khandas, will condition suffering. So the purpose of meditation is to see all this happening with the pure awareness. That's why when you become a living being, when you want to meditate, instead of going forward here to create a phenomenal world of consciousness, you must silence all this and return back to the pure awareness nature. That's why in the class or retreat, I always teach you how to develop pure awareness nature, or we call it the pure awareness meditation, so that this meditation brings you back to develop the awareness-based meditation, to stay at the pure awareness nature before the arising of thought, before the knowing, before the perception, before the creation, that trigger of the chain of what they call life activity, movement, and transformation into the complicated phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is where hell is, entanglement is, when you don't have the Dhamma. Okay? So now, I will read through the code one more time. Hopefully by now it's clearer and you can understand. So, pay attention. Huh? Every of these points that I make inside this unique code is very useful. It can help you awaken and develop the understanding. So again, you start by saying everything you come to see and perceive is via your pure awareness nature, which is just the pure seeing or pure perceiving. It can be seeing, hearing, taste, smell, tactile, or thought. Then like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. Similarly, in the hearing, is only the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear, no one to perceive, nothing. It's just the pure movement, like the physics experiment, naturally dependent, originating, condition arising. Then after that, you input the content of consciousness via your memory, your conditioning, your belief system and other things, your knowledge, to transform it into a thought, which is basically your five mental aggregates of form and mind. It is this five aggregate of form and mind that created the world, the phenomenal world of consciousness, and everything else that you come to perceive or know. And when you give meaning, grasp, cling, you entangle yourself. Then always remember, all of knowing comes from mind. After the perception, instead of staying at the pure perception, the direct seeing, you have too much knowledge, conditioning and belief system. That's why you perceive it and use word, concept and idea to describe what it is. That's how you create your own thought division. That's why word has power over living being, because thought divide through words, through concept, through idea, and duality that thought create. So all this, when you are mindful, you start to see them, you start to understand them. That's why you will understand what Jai Krishnamurti is trying to tell you, why he said thought is limited and thought divine to create conflict, misunderstanding, war, duality, etc. That's why the Buddha teach right view leading to right thought, no more wrong thought. Wrong thought is what Jai Krishnamurti is trying to tell you, thought that divides, thought that creates the movement, the projection into the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. All the words, the concept, the ideology, the belief system create more and more division. Because of division, there is conflict. There is attachment, craving, clinging, views, opinion, argument. That's why war, everything starts. Then I continue, I say, all knowing come from mind. Always remember, without the mundane mind to perceive through your thought, there is no knowing. It's the pure seeing, the direct seeing, without thought. That is the reason why the Buddha say, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So, that famous saying from Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 come from this understanding. As I, Sakyamuni Buddha, when he teach, when he say, mano, mind, is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. He is referring to the mundane mind, the thinking mind. The mind that is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. And because it is condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating, it exhibits the universal characteristics of anicca, which is impermanent. When you attach and cling and want things your way, which is not accordance with nature's law or movement, then suffering is the result. Because when you cannot get what you want, when you want things your way, you will suffer. That's why the universal characteristics of suffering, dukkha, arise. That is also the reason why the Buddha always stressed all of sankhara, thought activity, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang. See that clearly, awaken to it, then it will not have power over you. It will not deceive you, delude you, or haunt you, or have power over you. That's why wisdom free. You must develop it. Then because it's impermanent, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. Forever young, won't get old, won't get sick, and won't die. No such thing. Well, that form of mind is not you, it's dependent on originating. When condition arise, it arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. When condition evolve, move, and change, it also evolve, move, and change. So how can you cling on to it? It is not what you think. Because it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot depend on it. Because it goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die in the physical body. And everything you think you own was separate from you. That's why under the five daily contemplation, he said, contemplate all this. Then the fifth or last contemplation is the most beautiful. He said every living being, not only human being. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So this understanding, when it dawned upon the cultivator of the way, you will awaken. You will have the penetrative wisdom to understand the whole of life, existence and creation. Then when the understanding unfolds, the mundane mind realizes itself and sees. That's how one becomes enlightened, realize the unconditioned, which is Nibbana. Then when you go through that process of cessation of form and mind, which is a realization of Nibbana, you will understand what that source is. Initially is you have a glimpse of it, then later on you go in for a longer period, then later on you develop the skill or what we call the stability of understanding how it happened. Then from there you will have the condition to come across the Bodhisattva way or the higher teaching. You will encounter great beings or Sammasambuddha who can guide you and teach you to continue that cultivation. Then that realization of Nibbana can allow you to have the initial wisdom to come out and develop all the stages of sainthood, leading to Arahantship. Then after you become Arahanta, you are at the threshold of either ending everything and cease, no more rebirth. After Arahant, when you die, the last thought moment, no more ignorance, no more rebirth consciousness. So the only way for that being to come back is to take the Bodhisattva way, to arise the pure mind. The pure mind that has love and compassion. When you take the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva, the first vow especially, out of love and compassion for the living being, you vow to take across the limitless living being to realize Nibbana, to cross over to the other shore. And that is a pure thought, out of love and compassion, no avijja. When you make that vow sincerely with faith and understanding, at the moment of death, even though no more avijja, that pure mind can replace the rebirth consciousness. So you will also come back as a form of mind, but with a pure thought instead of avijja. Then the karmic conditioning is no longer there, not applicable anymore. Yeah. But since you have a karmic nature and you have this perfection understanding, then your spiritual nature will be activated. Yeah. So this spiritual nature is where all your spiritual cultivation, your perfection of wisdom and virtue is. Here, you can actually get this to help you. This will let you understand what this pure awareness nature is and how to develop the awareness-based meditation to actually penetrate the source, to locate the gateway, to illuminate that nature within and create further spiritual understanding, activity and movement. That is the Bodhisattva way. And that way is very rewarding, very beautiful. It can give rise to very, very extensive understanding, cultivation and perfection that can transform the form and mind that arise every time as a Bodhisattva. to understand life, to live life, and to be a blessing to all. And this is what the Buddhist teaching is all about. How beautiful, how unique and amazing and wonderful that teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is all about. That's why what we share here is all the unique Dharma codes that you need to develop all this understanding. That's why the word unique, and it's really unique. It's not ordinary Dharma code, but very unique Dharma code. So hopefully, with this explanation, you all can develop deeper and clearer understanding of the whole cultivation. Okay. Anybody got any question or want to add to whatever we have discussed? Yeah, you can come in. Yeah. Even those here, you can also come in if you want to. Just on the mic. If you don't understand also, you can ask. You need me to clarify any part, you can also ask.
Amitabha, Brother Theo.
Ah, yes.
Amitabha. Brother Theo, I want to kind of like make some comparison.
You can add on to what is being discussed.
What I wanted to say is I wanted to kind of share my own personal experience.
Ah, very good.
Versus what Brother Theo shared, so that we have the, how do you call that? Not say comparison, but the perspective, the perspective of my experience through formal meditation and through daily life, mindfulness in daily life, something like that. So I want to look at my formal meditation and also my mindfulness in daily life versus explanation from the four circles concept
formation
and gratitude, that gratitude shared, something like that. Okay, maybe I start off with saying my meditation experience first, Brother Theo.
Okay, can.
Okay.
Very good.
This one I shared before with Brother Theo in the past about my meditation before I go to sleep. On that occasion, right, Brother Theo, I mentioned that I'm trying to recall what happened now to explain. So I went into lying down meditation just before I sleep, and then I stay at my heart, right? Yeah. And then through that, I had a shift of consciousness that actually the awareness nature detect what happened to my body. Remember that time I was not feeling well, so I went to sleep early at 9 PM. And then before I went to sleep, I actually did the lying down meditation first. And then through the heart, right, I had a shift in consciousness. Actually, the awareness nature detect what happened to my body. So at that time, I wasn't... Actually, I also don't know what happened to my body, but the awareness nature showed it to me, give me the understanding what happened to my body.
So, you can understand after that, because... That pure awareness nature is very sensitive. It can go in and scan your whole body, and you will know what is going on inside there. That's why you will come to understand all this on your own later on. That's why after what you've gone through, now you can actually use your own word to share. You continue.
Yes, correct. So the I was able to like aware of something. Those things that I see, Brother Theo, is not normal things that a normal human mind can see one, Brother Theo.
Correct.
It's very extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like sometimes an analogy like the X-ray machine.
Yes, correct.
Where
Yes.
normal eye cannot see, but the X-ray can zoom in and
Yes,
see.
correct.
Then you can
So the
understand.
yeah, I would say this is like a Dharma eye, huh? Maybe that is the word. It's a Dharma eye that see, not the human mind or the brain that sees. It's not through memory. So the Dharma eye see what happened, right? And then I mean the words that I use also cannot describe everything that you actually see,
Yes,
you know, right?
true. Yeah, very
Yeah.
true.
So you just know that in the layman words, it's like everything is in a flux, you know. That you see things happening. It just keep on happening and happening. It's ever changing and it's nothing permanent, you know. So you just keep on seeing things that they want. I mean the because you are using the trust, right? The trust will let you see what you need to see, you know. It's not determined by you know, controlled by you what you need to see and etc. etc. There's no interference from the mind, the monkey
Correct.
mind, to
Sadhu.
see what you need to see. So it just show it to you, like a brother always say, you witness everything by itself, naturally, unfold by itself, you see it. Like Krishnamurti will say, what is like, you know, choiceless awareness, you know, something like that. Yeah. So that what kind of like match, like, you know, brother Teo, huh? All the words that JK said and brother Teo said all match, like, you know, in the Dharma. Huh? So after seeing all this, right, you cannot describe everything. Like, even my words also, I cannot describe everything that I see. Because I have no idea what is that also. In the words,
there
like,
is beyond thought, beyond mind. But when we want to share, we need to use word to actually
Correct.
describe it. That's why the Dhamma can be put into words when you understand. But it's unique to itself in the sense that those who have gone through the cultivation, the awakening, whatever word you use, they will understand. That is not that word. The word is not that thing. But
Yes,
what is being described through words, that thing, whoever who has gone through that, the direct seeing, they will see the same thing. They will awaken to the same thing. But they may use different words. Everyone is different to describe it. But no problem. Once that person has gone through, or from my mind has gone through, he will understand. No matter how you describe it, they will also understand. And you cannot, like what the Buddha said, is pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else can understand. You can use their words, but you cannot comprehend. But those who have gone through, no need word also, they can understand. Sometimes word is needed only for the conditioned world, for like we need to manifest, to share, to develop the explanation and the understanding. So all this, the cultivator of the way will go through and develop the understanding. That as they progress, stabilize their understanding, they will know how to explain it better and better, clearer and clearer. That's why those who take the Bodhisattva way, they went through very extensive cultivation and transformation. There's whatever transformation of consciousness has reached those levels. That's why they can understand. And it's very penetrative. But people who has not done the awareness-based meditation, they cannot understand, they cannot even follow. Well, most of what they do is thought-based, Dhamma-based, and it's not the true penetrative wisdom. So that is where the difference lies. And through all this cultivation or awareness-based meditation, all those who did it through that understanding were transformed differently. Well, that is the real sati-based or awareness-based meditation. Very good. Pocheng, you continue. Sadhu.
The other thing I want to mention, thank you, brother, for the additional information sharing. The other thing I want to say is that although all these things that the awareness nature can see, right, There is, like I said, no interference from the mind, right? So there's, although it's something new, you have no fear, you have no
Sure,
anxiety, you know, you are not
because
scared.
When you are inside that awareness nature, you will understand one very profound thing. You will know who are you, what are you, without thought, who are you. That nature got no name, nothing. It's not a being, it cannot come out and live life. Basically, it's nothing. Then how can nothing become something? It's through the creative process or the manifestation of the mundane mind that grabs and clings to Sakaya Ditti to believe that that thing is real. The form and mind is real. The thought is real. Now, all this is where the delusion is. That's why I say, based on what you explain, is very good. Because you say you will come to know what that thing is, even though you got this understanding that there is no interference from the thought. Because it's that pure nature. The pure nature's movement and transformation to let you see all the truth and the Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond mind. Not of the mundane mind which manifests as knowledge. Now, all this is just seeing things as they are, understanding, comprehending, awakening, and the process continue by itself. That's why that nature is very beautiful. And you know, it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. And it has got no word, nothing. That's why that pure nature is so beautiful. And yet, it can give rise to the direct seeing, can enable the form and mind to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. Then when it is in that state of silent tranquility and stillness, it can see the creation process, the movement. It can see things as they are, as they unfold. And you will come to understand how the mundane mind, through wrong view, wrong thought, stir, react, and create all the emotion, the fear, worry, anxiety, how sorrow come to be, how anger come to be, how fear come to be. And all these are non-intrinsic within the nature. They are all dependent originating. So the whole Dhamma understanding will unfold. That's why that transformation to the correct awareness-based meditative training is so different from the thought based on. Thought based on is to the thought which create a lot of knowledge and illusion, make you believe you have become enlightened. But that is from the thought. And the thought cannot be like the instrument limits it. Cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why it's always trapped within the field of thought. And thought being egoic, without wisdom, it cannot realize itself and it cannot cease. And if it cannot cease, you cannot realize a pure awareness nature. And you cannot be in that state of pure awareness nature. And it's not a being, that one. Huh? So all this, although we use word to explain, cultivator of the way must realize it. That's why the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. The cause of its arising is to be abandoned. Then the cessation of dukkha is to be realized. That one is very important. You have to realize that. Otherwise you cannot understand the unconditioned. That what they call enlightenment, realization. Because the realization of Nibbana leading to the cessation of form and mind is the unconditioned Dhamma that will unfold. Because within the unconditioned Dhamma, like Kuan Yin realized, That's why in the Heart Sutta, he said, in true emptiness, when you go into the cessation, all those that we realize exist within the mundane existential world, they are not real, doesn't exist within the unconditioned. That's why there is no old age, sickness and death, no enlightenment, no four noble truths, nothing, no increase, no decrease. Everything is in the negative. That's why J. Krishnamurti used the word, it can only be described as the negation. Because basically that nature is empty, got no word, nothing. That's why I say, without thought, who are you? That nature is just nothing, empty. It's not the word, it's just like that. It's that pure awareness, nature. It's a nature. Got no duality, nothing. Nothing manifests or happens inside that. But from there, a lot of things can surface. So the mystery of all this can only be unraveled or awakened to through the Dhamma cultivation or awareness-based meditation. The mundane mind must cease. Then it realizes itself, cease, and you go through that transformation, which is the realization of Nibbana, starting with a glimpse, then later more, then follow the Bodhisattva way of training to stabilize and evolve further and create all the extensive understanding. And then the cultivation can continue for very, very long. We call it unending because it involves long period of cultivation. Even to perfect Samasa Buddhahood, it takes at least 3 to 4 world cycle or Asankhaya Kappas. Then those who take the wisdom way will do it faster. If you go to the faith, it's the longest. It may take 3 times the period, 12 world cycle or Asankhaya Kappas. Then if you go to Virya, it may take 8 world cycle, Asankhaya Kappas. So all these are also mentioned in the sutta by Sakyamuni Buddha when he arrived 2,600 years ago. Yeah, you continue, Pujang, yeah.
Sadhu, Bradhyo, is very, very beautiful to describe it in the way that Bradhyo said that, you know, when the form and mind, or the mundane mind first, mundane mind cease, right?
Yeah.
You actually went into this pure awareness, right? The pure awareness, like Bradhyo said.
Then that one also cease into the unconditioned. Yes, then the realization of the unconditioned, which is Nibbana, you cannot describe one. Only the being, the form and mind that realizes itself and went in and come out can understand. Because no word, nothing. Because inside there, you will come to know why people say you cannot talk about it. One. Like the Tao. Tao ke Tao.
Exactly, yeah.
Tao. So all those become like very clear, very meaningful. But unless you went through that cessation, that's why the cessation of dukkha or form and mind is to be realized under the third noble truth, second turning. The Buddha make it very clear. You have to realize that. Otherwise, you cannot realize the unconditioned or the wisdom born of the unconditioned Dhamma. Only after you come out of that, then you have clear, stable understanding. Then, of course, you want your understanding to be extensive beyond the Arahanta realization. Then you continue the Bodhisattva way. That one is very rewarding, like I explained. It may take long period of cultivation, but it's very, very rewarding, very beautiful. Then as you go through the cultivation, like the five stages of Bodhi-mind development, by the time you hit the third stage of Bodhi-mind development, when your Bodhi-mind can illuminate that nature, you become very different. You keep on undergoing that transformation, that unending evolution of spiritual cultivation, then your internal nature's consciousness continue to transform. Especially after your mundane mind collapse, then that pure nature continue to like transform and evolve until that vibration become more and more still, more and more refined, until finally that there is nothing inside there. But the whole of the movement at the heart area, that nature, there are a lot of things going on. Then finally, after you go beyond the third phase of Bodhi-mind development that illuminate that pure nature, you will realize the fourth stage of Bodhi-mind development. The fourth stage of Bodhi-mind development is Bodhi-mind that renounces samsara. Well, by then you know samsara, the cycle of birth and death, is no longer what you think, what people deludedly believe. There is no more fear to come back to the Bodhisattva way. Because you can renounce samsara already. Samsara to you is no more an issue. Well, when you come with all this understanding, what is the problem? You come without suffering. You come with the understanding and the wisdom. You come to realize the truth, the perfection of the cultivation. Then you come to live life, to realize all of the wonders, pristine beauty and wonders of life. And from there, you continue to experience, evolve, and transform. And it's so beautiful. That's what Kuan Yin tried to describe. When you realize true emptiness, when you go through the third and fourth stage of Bodhi-mind development, you become so beautiful. Life becomes wonderful, meaningful, amazingly wonderful and meaningful. And that is what this beautiful Dhamma is all about. That's why initially, after my transformation, when I understand all this, I tell myself, how can I share and teach all this? But my nature was very surprised and yet joyful, because after Kuan Yin came with the message in 1986, then I moved, then I transformed. Then 89, I become different. Then as the transformation happened, 2008, no? 89 to 2008 is about 29 years. Maitreya came. When Maitreya came and asked me to transmit the real Dhamma, that was the time my nature was full of joy. Well, I know I have this understanding and I can teach and share this. But before that, there was no possibility. Well, my nature know nobody can understand one. But very funny, you know, after 2008, the new group come, especially Subang Jaya. Then the new, what they call, Kayamita, that has the real understanding and affinity from the past, they arise, or they manifest. Then finally, as I start to share from the Subang Guru, I realize I have to go back to basic teaching. No? That's why in the early days, Thursday class, you look at the whiteboard at Suyan's house, it's just basic essential Dhamma. Yeah. The Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, verse 21, 22, 23, the three evil roots, of creator and delusion, then the five spiritual faculty, five mental hindrance, and in between, of course, there are other essential dhamma, but these are the basic ones. Then I keep on explaining and evolving from there. But after about, I think, 7 years, 2015, I remember, end of 2015, and suddenly a lot of Kaimita wrote to me, asking for the Bodhisattva way. That's why I knew the time has come. So during that time, I agree. I remember Pamasuri was the first to came and request and ask me to teach and share. I said, okay. Then we had the classes. I remember four sessions over about 2 years. Then the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, come about, become a reality. I realized it can be compiled into a book. Then from there, I start to develop the sharing. Then 2017, 2 years later, I realized the website also wants to come out already. That's why the causes and conditions arise. Then we finalize the website. Then after that, the teaching become very different. Year by year, the retreat teaching become very different. Until the MCO came. Then that time, I think, Po Cheng's condition also arise. Then I started to teach the Heart Sutta differently. Instead of over the retreat, 8 to 9 days, I did it over 8 months. Then I repeated it. I think now that second edition, I think this is the second or third time I have gone through slowly to teach. Then I realize people's understanding deepened. No? Then especially at that time, Po Cheng, who is still very new, but he has faith, and she just listened attentively and just follow instruction and do, and she transformed. No? Then many other Kayamita, like that time, apart from Song, Alicia, they all, many other Kayamita, they listen, they can understand, or they start to understand. Or. Then later on, when we shift the Thursday class over to Padmasuri's house, you realize the teaching is so different. Or. I didn't go back to the initial teaching. I straight away went into the four circle formation. And that arises because the unique code also wants to come about. Sister Ingby actually helped, where he compiled all the code without the rest of the Kahimita even knowing how unique it is. Until I requested for it, then he straight away wrote to me with joy. But till I had that, oh, you don't worry, I will forward it to you. That's how I look at the whole thing, then I recollect what I share, then I summarize and edit it and form this book, Unique Dhamma Code, Straight from the Heart. That is the title I choose as most appropriate. That's how the Thursday class teaching become very different. Then a lot of Kayamita, especially during that time, Song, they all, Alicia, they all, Puchina, they realize that this is so beautiful. Even Pamasuri, Bertil, they realize all this can be taught in and put into words through the four circle formation. But actually this teaching is very difficult to understand, not to say teach. To understand it is already difficult enough. You go and check what I teach and share, this four circle formation. You cannot find it in any book, I tell you. Even you go into the Mahayana teaching or saying, they cannot simplify and put into words like that and teach you and share with you and link it to the basic Theravada teaching. In fact, these are not sophisticated esoteric teaching. They are basic nature's teaching which can be comprehended if you do the awareness-based meditation. So all this has become so beautiful. That's why when it unfolds, it really unfold. Yeah. So thank you for bringing up the condition, Bhujang. So salute to you. You can continue now. Sorry for taking up quite a bit of your time.
For making it very clearly to us. Actually, because of the Bodhisattva way, right, at the wows, I think that helps me in my transformation as well.
That one helps a
it's
lot
not,
of people, not only you,
yeah,
a lot of Kalimita.
Not,
after
yeah.
they take the Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, they realize their life changed, you know. And a lot of things happen to them. Insights start to move, as they start to understand.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, Bharatiyo. What I wanted to say is, in formal method, it helps me to develop a very deep understanding this four circle formation very well.
Yeah.
Because when I go into the when the mundane mind sees right, so it went to the pure awareness. You see all those things that you can see, and then without the interference of the mind, and then on top of that, you see the changes, the how the body changes in the flux that
the
keep changing.
Internal transformation, change your body structure, especially your brain there. Then later on, your heart there also same. Then the whole of your bodily structure, your internal nadis, chakra, and nervous system, they all become very different. And the pure energy that ran through the gateway actually can do a lot of wonderful things to the cultivator all the way. And your vibration different. You become very different. Very good.
So it tells you what is your bodily problem also, Brad.
So that's why you can understand your body very well. I used to tell you all. And your body, like, initially I remember when the pure energy came, it like transformed me, into a car that is perfectly tuned, like I got no signal, no problem, anything. I recovered from everything, and like a perfect human being. So still and so beautiful, so pure. And the time with the pure energy, I hardly need to rest or sleep on. Whenever I need to rest, I just silence my mind with full awareness. 5-10 minutes, I recover already. At that time, really like a perfect human being. Then the time I can feel very sensitive, everything inside my physical body, and any part within the bodily formation and activity, very clear one. Then which part of my brain, how they activate and how they respond, all very clear. That's why that time, how to describe all this to people. People will look at you and think you are crazy already. Maybe from Tanjung Rambutan. But the real happening is really like that. And it's so amazing. That's why that time, I didn't talk about it. I just silent, keep quiet. Then just let things be until the condition arise and unfold. That's why you go through the sharing over the last 24 years. There are a lot of areas where I share in the early days. I hinted. Then later on, when more people understand, I share more. Then if you have been following all this, you will get the whole picture very quickly. That's why this website can help cultivate all the way a lot. And it can be a blueprint for people who go the Bodhisattva way in the future to develop a lot of penetrative understanding. And it can speed up their cultivation. Even my yellow card, I teach you all the extra part where normal Bodhisattva way they never teach. The asking for forgiveness, of course, most of them will teach, but to the extent that I have detailed it is slightly different. Then the other one is the aspiration that you make Aditan by invoking power of merit for you to have this understanding of the essential Dhamma, life after life, whenever you arise, whether you need choose to come or you have to come. The two aspects of the five aggregates, the universal characteristic, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta, and all those things. So all these are very important Dhamma, especially the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. How karmically the vehicle and tool which you need to arise in the existential world is your form and mind. And you need this to come. Then from here you develop the meditative training, then you can locate the gateway to your nature and continue with the extensive cultivation. So all these are now shared and put into the yellow card so that you have this understanding life after life whenever you arise. Then the benefit of it is tremendous. Which means not like in the past when the Buddha Sasana is no more. Most Bodhisattvas who has not stabilized their understanding, they lost their way. They fall back during non-Sasana and they have to wait for the next window of Sasana before they have condition to fulfill what they have cultivated and develop the causes and condition to go through the cultivation again, like what a lot of you all Kaya Metta is doing now. This is the Sasana window, that's why you all can have the condition and come. But if you follow my new yellow card, in future you don't need the Sasana. When you arrive, you also have this understanding that I have taught you, and you will continue with the cultivation even without Sasana. And in that sense, you prepare yourself very well, so that by the next Sasana, when you arise, you are very beautiful already. Your nature is very different already. Then, like I said, maybe by then, a lot of you all, will become very different in your cultivation and all those things. Then finally, if you're really diligent and your nature very beautiful, you may be as good as what my nature is or beyond what I have developed as understanding. So all these are possible. Okay, Pujay, you continue. Sadhu.
Well, before I continue, right, since you brought up this, without Sasana, we also can
have this understanding.
But Rathio, without Sasana, won't the situation is more how you call that? Not so conducive.
So conducive and more difficult because
more difficult.
Teaching is not there. But what I have taught you all how to make the aspiration is very important. Well, when you aditana, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to have this understanding life after life, no? And that is a major commitment, no? So what happened is, this will be planted deep into your Bodhi mind, no? Do you know that? Your Bodhi mind, which is the one that took the resolve to go this way, that seed of Bodhi, when you plant this vow deep, somehow it will nurture, no? Even without Sasana, when you arise, like this life, when my nature comes, I no need to search, you know. The search automatically happened inside me, you know. Then even before I reached the age of 17, in the year 1971, when I was young, there are certain things that happened to me in my life. I know already, you know, that I am not normal, you know. And I know these are important things that remind me. Because it's like from the consciousness, normal people will not notice it. But I notice it, very funny. That time I don't know the Dhamma, you know. Then how come I can have this understanding? Then later on, when I was in Form 5 in 1971, when I know science, maths, geography, then I broke the question of life. Who am I? What am I? Then the extent of the universe, as a science student, I know the universe is very immense. Then I ask, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? Then suddenly inside, my teacher, he said, you must meditate to understand. I got no doubt, although I don't know what is meditation at that time. You must meditate to understand. So I just let it be. Then I know I have to meditate. Then my encounter with my mother, who has good affinity, Kuan Yin, then he go to the Chinese temple, he make offering to using joystick and sometimes offer all the whatever you should offer, even slaughter chicken. But initially, I cannot accept all those meals. I said, this is not the religion that will let me understand too, because bargain on, I help you, I offer, then you help me. Then later on, I realized when I received the first book, What Buddhists Believe, by the late K. Sridharmananda, when he explained that these are rites and ritual, traditional practice of Chinese civilization, then I realized, I said, that is a good explanation. Then I want to know what the Buddhist teaching was. Then I read further. I read the Four Noble Truths. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, like I straight away knew it's the secret of life. All of life, the mundane and super mundane, all there. I say, who in this civilization or this universe, 2,600 years ago, can understand all this and summarize into just Four Noble Truths, so beautifully and so concisely, the whole of life, like the secret of life. Then my nature tell me, this must be the right one already, no need to say. That's why after that, I never say. I just continue and let things unfold. Then the first day I joined the university, I was brought by a new coursemate who also came to the university first day from Trungannu Variyama. He said, Tio, tonight you got nothing to do after dinner. I said, yeah. Hey, follow me, I take you to science faculty. I said, why? He said, there is a monk very good, K. Sridharmananda. She is giving a talk. Hey, then I heard the name, I said, that is the author. That's how I went. Oh, I first time saw a monk, bald, speak very good English, and very, very scientific in his explanation. Yeah. That's why I straight away after the talk, I went to him and asked him, where can I meet up with you? I want to visit your temple. And he gave us Brickfield. That's how everything started. Then that night I went back, based on what he shared. He that time also didn't know where the mind is. He pointed to the forehead and said, look, we didn't know. So I went back, wait for my roommate to sleep. Midnight, I remember, 12 o'clock. I decided to sit and meditate. I never meditate before. I don't know what is meditation. So he said, look inside. I look inside. I couldn't see anything. It was blank, dark. Then suddenly I saw a bright light, One point, a bright light. It's like a small star, a minute star. Then I look at it. The moment I look at it, my mind like stuck to it. It's like one point turner. Then I decided to give it a push. That's funny all that time. As a science student, I can do maths, I can solve problems, I can focus on a problem very well. My mind never moves on. Then I give it a push. Oh, everything happened after that. It's like my mind went to that one pointedness and like a spaceship travel into space or deep space. Infinite space. Then, very strange, I said, what is all this? Then suddenly I withdraw. I don't know what it is. Then I felt so good, so calm, so peaceful. Then after that, I decide maybe an hour. To me, it's at the most half an hour only. I came out, I opened my eye, I looked at my watch, 4 a.m. Means I've been sitting there for 4 hours without me knowing. And to me, it's about half an hour at the most. Then after that, my mind becomes so calm, so still for 1 week plus. And that time I was full of joy. I said, oh, this is meditation. That's why at that time my metta very strong. My this anapanasati and that formless rhyme experience was so beautiful. The infinite space. Then after that, I developed the ability to meditate very fast. And most of it is anapanasati. And I become very calm, very still. Then I went to Brickfield, took the booklet. Then a lot of things happened. I received the metta book. I developed the metta meditation. And my metta was so powerful. Then a lot of things happened. Then in between also, I think I can still remember when I first day approached Brickfield, the chanting, the Pali chanting, it sounded like very familiar to me. And I fit in very easily. So that time they got the chanting book and the, also a card, they developed a card. So I look at it, then very fast I can follow the chanting and all things. So everything just fall into place, meant to be. So what I'm trying to explain to you is, Bocheng, you don't worry whether non-sasana is not so conducive or what. What my nature can tell you is that aspiration that you have planted, they will be activated or no, by itself. It will nurture and it will bring forth the understanding. That's why a lot of the understanding I told you, I didn't learn this life one. Then how did I understand? Of all the things that I teach you, I never learned this life one. But how did my nature understand? It's because from my past, after 1989, when my spiritual nature came back to me, all this came in and connected. But before that, I already have the ability to understand the Four Noble Truths, or to say, nobody taught me anything. And yet I understand them, and it's so different from what the book writes on. How can it be? That a lot of things that I saw when I was young, I remember I was sitting, I like to sit in the open air, open sky, look at the stars. Then in the daytime, I sat near the badminton court, open air. Then I look at the coconut tree, the trees, the plants. Then I saw that movement, the phenomenon of all the leaves and branches. Then I realized my mind like stay with it or not. Then I asked myself, I said, what is all this? Then I asked my friend, they all don't know this or not. And they say, in Hokkien, you japa bo ming kia zua, kua jige. Inside me, I know this is something from my past. I don't know what it is. And then later on, when I meditate, I develop the daily mind. Then I know this is specific phenomenal awareness. Means I was able to do it when I was young, before I even know what meditation is. So all this, they will come to you. Then it will show it to you, and you will understand. You don't need to learn from anybody. At that time, it's like before I really know what the Dhamma is, I only got hold of the book, first edition. Then later on, I came to Brickfield. Actually, nobody can really teach me the real Dhamma until 1986, when Kuan Yin's message came. You had to move fast. And then I realized that time, very funny. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then when I lay my hand on it, I understand which are the true one, which are the relevant, which are the non-relevant. my nature will know. It's like that. That's why I put saying you don't worry. You make that vow, the Adhitan, follow the yellow card, to have this understanding life after life, whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, that one will manifest and it will arise through that Bodhi mind. Yeah, that thing has been planted with understanding deep in the Bodhi mind. So this part, hope it can give you all the understanding and the faith. Okay, Pajay?
Yes, Sadhu, Bharatiyo. I think this life, I learned a lot from Bharatiyo and these after ones, right, that I have already planted, will be activated the next life that I come, you know?
Yeah, on its own one, it will arise one. Then you don't have to, like this line, wait until so long when you meet me, then after meeting me, still a few retreats, still mong cha cha, then only come back. But your this ability to meet my nature is because of past life encounter too, which you may not know. Because my nature is like that one. To be able to meet and learn from my nature, that being has affinity on. Otherwise, it cannot be like that one. And sometimes it's because you all have affinity, the great being like Kuan Yin or certain Buddha. Then through the affinity, you make the request, then they send you, then you all come. Then there is also another group. Based on the food I eat on, I told you all where I got that vow. Whomsoever appear as food for my form and mind to consume, my nature vow to take them all across. So they can come in different way. But for those who can come and learn and really develop the progress, you have your affinity on. Otherwise, it cannot happen like that one. And most of these people, I don't know them. So all this is part and parcel of nature's condition. That's why affinity is very important. And to cultivate affinity, you don't really need to do much. You only need to have faith and understanding, then pay your respect, then develop the wholesomeness and goodness. Like a lot of Kanyamita, you all may not know. A lot of you all, off and on, will come and take me out for dinner or lunch or what. Or visit me, then make offering without you knowing. That's why even the annual Kayamita gathering, a lot of you come with a lot of joy, then they make offering, small gift or whatever, then they rejoice, then they make aspiration and all those things. All these are great affinity without you all knowing. Then some may not be cultivating the Dhamma this life, but they have been my classmate and friend for many lives. That's why I saw them. I realized that materialistic, they also very good karma. Then they trust me, they are close to me, but they don't want to meditate, they don't want to learn. There are also like that one, quite a number of them. So everyone is different. You will witness it, you will see it. Then some come through suffering and misery. You look at Alicia after going through all that, also can become different. So everyone is different. So you look back, like I say, most of the Kayamita, I don't know them. Apart from Sui An and Mi Fong, who are my university mate, the rest of you, you can ask around. I don't know you all. You and Padmasuri, Pratima, I don't know. Only when I came to Subang, when I start teaching, then only even in video, I don't know. They came later. So all this is what nature's condition is. That's why cultivating affinity. Sometimes you just recite their forehound or whatever. you already cultivated the infinite. That's why I like the retreat and the spiritual trip as well. All of this spiritual trip and retreat, you cultivated a lot of what they call affinity with great beings, the triple gem. Yeah. And without you knowing it, all this will become your parami. And it will manifest when the time comes. That's why sometimes you think, wow, how come you so blessed, so lucky, can meet up with this great being or what? Well, in the past, you may not know them, you may not know who they are, but you have goodness, you have generosity, wholesomeness, then you are sincere, genuine. Then that affinity manifests, and you already, like I say, jabilia already, because the being that has the understanding, they will send you the pure way, like my parents. They don't know who I am, but they, in the past life, on many occasions, they helped me before without them realizing who my nature is. That's why I gave them the pure wish. Then straight away, they manifest this life, become my parents. Once they become my parents, home already. Their future all taken care already. So a lot of this understanding, as you cultivate, you develop the perfection and the understanding and the wisdom to actually understand all this. Then through eons and eons of cultivation, manifestation of this Bodhisattva way, you develop extensive exposure and understanding. And you will come to know with more and more certainty and clarity how all these things can be possible. And when they manifest, it's very, very beautiful. Your nature will know. Like my wife and how the giver very strong, how it happened. Even my children, they have their past, their affinity. Otherwise, they cannot be my children, my wife, and all things. Then as Kaya Mitra, you are also unique. Otherwise, you cannot be attending all this. Pochek, you continue. Another 5 minutes.
Affinity with great beings is so important. And the Bodhisattva vows is also very, very important that help us to transform our nature as well, you know. Okay, coming back to what I was sharing, right? So, Bharati, I was saying, like in the formal meditation, right? So, the mundane mind ceased and able to realize the pure awareness, right? In the pure awareness, right? So, you see all those things that is beyond thought and beyond mind. And that part that I want to say is, when I was sleeping, right, from 9 plus to the next morning, right? So, I was in awareness nature the whole time, right? So just before I wake up, so the mundane mind is coming out, right? So he's able to know that I'm in the awareness nature, you know, to see this thing, you know, and can also recollect everything that I see. I'm down meditation, you know. Okay. Yeah. So the only difference is, you know, that like Brother Theo always said, There is this. It's not a being that can come out into live
life.
Yeah,
live life.
You see that.
You can inside that awareness nature, you know that it's not a being on. But there is nothing on.
Correct.
That's why without the sankhara, without the mundane activity or movement, you really through the awareness you can find out. There is no being inside there, or no one inside there at all. That's why I say you are nothing.
yes, correct, precisely. So you can
so
see
you
the...
have no more delusion.
Correct. There is a transition. You can see. There's no being. There's no word. There's nothing. No interference on your mundane mind.
Yeah.
Then when the mundane mind comes, then you know that you are back to the existential world.
That is the karmic creation from the karmic nature, the form and mind come, and the form and mind too, that whatever what they call understanding or delusion created the thought process. And the thought process is what the five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Then from there, it gives rise to the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's why if you look at the next quote, unique quote 147, I will read first. We won't go through, we are not enough time. Unique quote 147, ability to understand the five aggregates of form and mind can free one's mind from the delusion of self. Because this one is dependent orientating, condition arising, manifestation via the pure awareness nature. That's why you will know. That's why I put it very clearly, to ability, to have the ability to understand in bold letter the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why I teach you in the early day the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. Until you understand it very clearly, until it's stabilized, can free one's mind from the delusion of self. But that one is not you. Like the Buddha say, the five aggregates, they are impermanent. Anicchang. They exhibit the characteristics of anicchang, dukkha, anatta. And after you have understand this, then you will come to know if they are not a permanent unchanging entity, not you, then who are you? What are you? How did they arise in you? Then it will bring you to the answer of what I have shared with you. Then from there, when it ceases, then you will know without thought, who are you? You realize there is another nature beyond thought, beyond mind. There is not an entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and cry on and say, this is me. No, it's not a super Atman or ultimate self or what, or true self. No such thing. True nature, yes. There is a nature. It's not a self. It's not a being. So all this understanding will unfold from understanding the five aggregate of form and mind. Then you inquire, if they are not me, how did they arise in me? Then who am I? What am I? Beyond the five aggregate, is there another nature within? And then, when you realize the pure awareness nature, you realize that nature is not a being. Cannot come out and live. All this, my nature realizes itself after the 1989 cessation. That's why I came out. I went through the whole process, then I realized in that state, nothing at all. Then I realized how to teach this teaching. Nobody can comprehend and understand at that time. That's why that time I was ahead of time. Even in 1989, I first came out 2004, you remember? 2004. And that was 15 years later. For 15 years, I didn't do anything. Despite the understanding unfold. And that time I was 35 years old. Then I retired in 2001, officially from my engineering career. Then I do what I want to do. That's why after that, I do investment, I share my Dhamma and all those things. Then I, of course, travel. Then live life. So all this is something that you all can witness. Those who know me, they will know. And this is what possibility of that beautiful life, the wonderful life, can be, in fact, really, since birth until now, very blessed, and everything like meant to be. My nature didn't do anything, I just echo and flow, and everything just unfold, even until today. So all these are possible when you have the cultivation and the understanding. So have faith, develop the affinity, then based on what? whatever we share today, especially from Pujang who created the condition, you listen to this again. This sharing is very good. It will help give you the faith and conviction to really strive on with heedfulness and cultivate sincerely. And knowing that all these are so beautiful and can be realized, it must be really emphasized on, like I used to say, don't miss this window. Otherwise, you will have to wait very long before another same window can arise. Okay? Yeah. So, can you summarize, Pujang? We have to end already. I heard the alarm early on.
Yes, correct. Yes, this window is so important because for people like us who has not planted the seed of Bohi and stabilized our awareness nature, is the best window of opportunity to do during the Buddha Sasana and with a wise teacher like Vaipio to teach us, kindly teach us in also detail, you know, that we must fully make use of it with faith and perseverance and sincerity in learning this true Buddha Dharma. I think the next life when we come, we will be much more prepared, you know.
Not only next life, the whole of your journey, your existence, life after life from now on, we're all taken care of. You know? What have you got to lose?
By sacrificing
this life's balance of years to go all out to cultivate this. You just have to make sure what I share with you has been planted. That's it. Then after that, it takes care of itself. Not only next life, life after life, whenever you arrive, the understanding is there.
Yes. So, brother, in view of time, right, so I will continue the second part that I wanted to share, which I didn't share, on the daily mindfulness part. That manifests in the next session.
No problem. Our next session will be the coming Sunday. Then, after that, one more Tuesday, then we call it a
Chinese New Year break.
But the funny part is this year, after Chinese New Year, I have to go with Alicia Manchandio to Switzerland and Netherlands, 14 days. So the whole of February also no more class. So you take a good break after Chinese New Year, extend until end of February, we come back in March. But coming Sunday and Tuesday class still on. So make a note. Okay? Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
So I'd like to thank Sister Pocheng for bringing out the condition for today's sharing to become so beautiful and meant to be. So do listen to this recording again when you come out. Then during the New Year break, listen and develop the what they call aspiration and everything. Because Chinese New Year is a good time for celebration and also development of wholesomeness. It's a tradition where we buy offering and share and give. You receive, you give, you rejoice, you have reunion dinner, and you have all your family members coming together, and you can share whatever you want to share. Then make the ajitan, like a lot of people say, New Year resolution. This is your New Year resolution for cultivation and all those things. Then use this break to reflect, contemplate, and cultivate, and make the affirmation, so that when we come back and have our class in March, you all already have the faith and the understanding and the joy. Then this year is going to be very different, because after March, May, our retreat again. Very fast. Then after retreat, I don't know, we're supposed to have one spiritual trip to this, that Qingdao. Is it Qingdao? That up north one? Qingdao. We will have to talk to her after I come back from our trip. See how we can plan it. There in between, I think, we will still have to prepare for the gathering of Kayamitas after that. We are Qingdao very likely, I think, is supposed to be September or what? Promissory? Don't know. We check again. I remember last time we fixed September because the weather is better, not too cold. More conducive. We see how it goes. Anyway, the activity for this year is already quite full. But don't worry, just let things be. Everything will unfold based on the Dhamma. And whatever unfold will be the way it is and beautiful. Okay, let us share merits. Akka Satta Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Hidang Mehnya Tinang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyateyo Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyateyo. Devo vasat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bhava tu loko cha. Raja bhava tu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyin Bodhisattva, and the worthy ones. There we end. Thank you.